it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands in MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
What a brutal night for the New York baseball teams. Hi, Sal Licata here with the latest edition of WFAN Daily. Don't forget to download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. That's as rough a night as we have had this season for both teams combined. Now, I'm going to start with the Yankees because I think it's more important, their game, than the Mets game, but we'll get to that in a second. And the obviously just a brutal loss for the Mets. Not as crushing for the Yankees. However, it's more eye-opening to me that a team that can score 15 runs in consecutive games look like world beaters, 30 runs in two games over the weekend against the Brewers, look like world beaters, and then the first game against Baltimore for the year, the team that is going to be their measuring stick. This is a barometer series for the Yankees and for the Orioles as well. Orioles have to make last year stick. There's a lot of doubt that that's going to be the case. People picking the Yankees to win the division, and understandably so, but kind of dismissing what Baltimore did. Oh, yeah, it's a fluke what they did. I don't take them seriously. I mean, let's not forget, Baltimore finished ahead of the Yankees last year by 19 games. Now, last year's last year. This year's this year. But that's why I think it's a good early season series measuring stick for each of these two teams. And so far, so good for the Orioles as the Yanks get blanked. I just don't understand it. That's the larger picture problem with this team. How does this continue to happen where Judge is inconsistent? He doesn't get the job done. Stanton looks lost. I mean, I know how that happens. Stanton's just, he's washed up. Like, he's just not a good baseball player. He clogs up the middle of the lineup. You don't need that power from him. You'd rather have a ball player that could put the bat on the ball, run the base as well, play some defense. Giancarlo Stanton is killing the Yankees. Rizzo, same thing. They need to move on from each of these two guys. Now, look, the Yanks here, where, you know, they missed Verdugo, obviously, but the Yanks are going to score a ton of runs. They're going to hit a lot of home runs. They get good pitching from their starting pitchers for the most part. Bullpen's going to be okay. But it's unfathomable how you can score 30 runs in consecutive games and then get shut out in a game against a very good Orioles team, which makes me think, and, you know, the same thing with the runners in scoring position, nine guys left on base. It makes me think the same things about the Yankees pre-last year. It was never, oh, is this team going to be good enough to make the postseason? No, they're generally always good enough to make the postseason. The question is, are they going to be good enough to hit in the postseason? They mash in the regular season, but come playoff time, they disappear. Far too often, that's been the issue. So even Gerrit Cole coming back can't solve this problem. I really think, now, Dominguez coming back could help, but you're starting to see Volpe come back down to earth. And again, he, you know, hurt them with bad defense today with the error. So you have a couple of different things at play here. Yeah, and the defense I'm not really worried about, but look, this is the biggest game the Yankees have played this year. Maybe outside of the opening series, this is the real first test for them against the Orioles. They make an error. Volpe, the Gold Glove shortstop, makes a big error that costs them in the game, and their offense does nothing. And that's the two biggest issues. And those type things are things that are going to lose you games in the playoffs. Now, it's early. It's still April. You don't want to go nuts and overreact. But for the first test, to have the Yankees lose is one thing. To have them get shut out after scoring 30 runs over the weekend is another. That's what's infuriating about this team, the inconsistencies of the offense specifically. And it doesn't look like Judge is hurt. He was starting to come out of it a little bit. But in a big spot, he can be pitched to. And one guy like Soto is not going to make or break the entire lineup or the game. Now, you do credit Baltimore for good pitching. I mean, that's their thing. But still, the Yankees' bats, and by the way, this is the type of playoff, you know, the type of pitching the Yankees are going to have to face in the playoffs. So their bats far too often this season. Think about this. How many times the Yankees have been freaking shut out already? Oh, it's only April. You don't want to overreact to an early season series. Yeah, but it's only April. They've been shut out a million times, it feels like, already. I don't know exactly how many times, what, four or five times? It's a lot. Whatever it is, it's been too many times that the Yankees have been shut out already this year. So, yeah, they can mash. Yeah, they can look great. Yeah, on any given night, they can look like they can beat anybody. But their offense is a big concern when you're talking about a team that is going to try to win a World Series. They have other minor issues as well. No team is perfect. We get it. But so far in this four-game series, game one goes to the Orioles here, and you have to favor them. They're pitching, they're timely hitting, putting the bat on the ball, whatever you want to say here. The Orioles got it done, and the Yankees did not. And it's just frustrating to watch a team with loaded, you know, names in that lineup not get the job done. So that would be my biggest issue. Now, like I said, Dominguez comes back. He can maybe change things. Who knows? You know, maybe eventually they call Spencer Jones up. Maybe they make a big trade. I don't think Spencer Jones is going to be the answer this year. I'm just throwing stuff out there how things can change. Right now, what we look at this Yankee team in April, it's not going to be the same team come October. They'll be in the postseason. We know that. What's their lineup going to look like? That we do not know. I mean, could LeMahieu come back? We have no idea. And I just throw him out there because, you know, he's a guy that did perform in the postseason years ago where you could maybe trust that bat. But again, his health is such a big question mark. Who the hell knows at this point with LeMahieu? Not the end of the world, but not a good sign for the Yankees to get blanked in the first game of this barometer series in Baltimore. Now, for the Mets, disastrous every which way you slice it. Severino was great. But it's just an ugly, awful Mets loss when you take a no-hitter into the eighth inning, as Luis Severino did. To give up the hit is one thing. And to be honest with you, like, I was kind of torn on it anyway. The Mets are wearing the City Connect jerseys. It's Luis Severino. Would there be a little bit of, you know, Doc Gooden no-hit revenge? Maybe. But then I could just already see Yankee fans saying, oh, yeah, the Mets have two no-hitters in their history. One wasn't really a no-hitter because it was a foul ball, it was a fair ball down the line that they called foul, and the other was thrown by a Yankee in Luis Severino. Now, that aside, Severino was nasty. He was dominant. He was terrific. He looks like a different pitcher this year. He was throwing batting practice for the Yankees this year, and so far for the Mets through the first month of the season, he has been terrific. And, you know, he's got motivation here in a walk year, one-year deal by David Stearns and the Mets. Turned out to be a brilliant move so far. Long way to go. He's got to stay healthy. But Severino's been nasty. The problem is that he's got to be perfect, and he wasn't. And the reason he's got to be perfect is because the Mets' offense is not that good. Oh, and by the way, their defense. They bring in Joey Wendell, who has been a butcher this year defensively. Like, Joey Wendell is a fringe major leaguer anyway. He was a guy with Tampa that I remember saying, you know, like, all right, I don't know. He's one of those no names from Tampa that you feel like, yeah, geez, this guy's getting a big hit again. So I didn't mind the signing with the Mets, thinking, okay, veteran guy off the bench should play baseball the right way. And yet every time we've seen him so far in a Met uniform play defense, he's a butcher. And the Mets bring him in as a defensive replacement. And what happens? He butchers the play again. A key play in the game. A broken bat, soft ground to third, with the runner from third breaking home right in front of his face. He decides to try to turn two, where everybody in the world that's ever watched baseball for a second knows that that is the wrong play. So I don't know what Joey Wendell is doing, but his head was directly up his ass in that case, and it cost the Mets. Because instead of coming home and getting the would-be tying run out, he tries to turn the double play, the tying run scores, and on we go. And then Edwin Diaz, which he's done far too often this year, comes into a game that is not with the Mets having the lead. You know, whether it be the Mets trailing, whether it be a tie game, every time we see Edwin Diaz this year, it seems like it's not in for a close situation or for a save situation to close out the game. And Diaz, you know, gives up the two-run homer there. It happens. You know, Diaz has been the best closer in the game when healthy. Obviously, not last year. He was out all year, but the year before that, best closer in baseball. This year, even with the velocity down, he's still been pretty lights out. And, you know, I'm not making excuses. Tie game is what he is. Still gave up a two-run bomb. It hurts, but he can't be perfect either. And this is a spot where the Mets needed more offense. And, of course, they didn't get it. Whether it's Lindor not coming up in a big spot, DJ Stewart not getting the job done in the big spot, the Mets just have not been able to get the job done. And tonight, or as you listen to this now on Tuesday morning, last night, Hoff, just edit that. No, you could leave it in. I'm just kidding. Last night, I'm recording tonight. It's tonight. Whatever. Monday night. There we go. We figured it out. Monday night was a dominant starting pitching performance. Second straight starting pitching performance that you love to see for the Mets with the starters going in the eighth inning there, getting through eight innings. But this time, the Mets come up short in, I hate to say it, typical Mets fashion with a crushing defeat, you know, at home. Now, I mean, you know, at least the Mets have been competitive this year, and you have to love what you've seen from Carlos Mendoza. So it's not the end of the world. It's not woe is me. The Mets stink. They're never going to be any good. But that's just one that, you know, you'd like to avoid that type of loss. I don't care if it's April. I don't care if it's August, and certainly not September. Like, you don't want to have any kind of loss that is as crushing as that one. When you go from the highs of highs, thinking about a no-hitter, to all of a sudden having the game lost because of a stupid defensive play, and then because of Edwin Diaz giving up the big two-run homer, and more importantly, the offense not being able to do anything. I mean, the Mets scored their run, first batter of the game. Then what? Talk about the Yankees offense being shut down. The Mets offense gets shut down. Nimmo hits a leadoff homer, and that was it for both New York teams. God, what a frustrating night for both the locals. Hey, thank goodness for the Knicks and Rangers. All right, that does it for this edition of WFAN Daily. Stay tuned for more episodes each and every day hitting your inbox at, I think, 4:30 a.m. We also do some live following games. We'll probably do one live tomorrow following Game 5 for the Knicks, or I should say, we'll probably do one live on Tuesday following Game 5 from the Knicks. So you can check it out on the WFAN YouTube page, and then we post it on the podcast page as well. We'll have a mailbag episode coming up, WFANDaily@gmail.com. If you want to be a part of the mailbag episode, hit us up. We'll respond, answer your questions and comments, whatever you may have. Download, rate, subscribe, wherever you listen to your podcast. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.